Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sour brought to you by Zero Risk, Smart Lasting Clean. It's the morning shift. Mike and Bo, a couple dogs off the leash this morning, man. And it is a huge, huge weekend of sports here in Atlanta. You got Georgia, Florida tomorrow. Shout out to everybody up at Buffalo's and Hamilton Mill. I'll be hanging out there for the pregame party. Tonight you'll have Hawks, Kings. And tomorrow you'll have Atlanta United facing off in the second game of this leg of the playoffs against Messi down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And then Sunday, you got America's team, the Cowboys, that'll be rolling in to Mercedes-Benz Stadium to take on your first place, Atlanta Falcons. Man, we've kind of diagnosed this game about from every angle throughout most of this week. And we've paid a lot of attention to the running statistics of both teams. They have not been good against the run. They have not run the ball efficiently. They are dead last in yards per carry in the NFL, but
I kind of disagree.
What's that?
I think there's an aspect that we haven't broke down. I don't really want to do it, but I mean, we could definitely break down the fact that if they cross the 50, they're in field goal range for Brandon Aubrey.
Yeah, I don't want to. Well, and look, man, he's been on jury duty a lot. He's been on jury duty a lot the last couple of weeks. Maybe he's not greased up. Well, in the hips.
He's 8 of 9 from 50 plus. So, yeah. And his long is 65.
Do you think he's been going and getting his kicks in after jury duty? Or is it just like, man, I'll just have to hit him tomorrow? You think he's like leaving? Because, dude, jury duty will suck the life out of you. You know, I had to do it earlier this year. It's brutal.
How many kicks do you think he had? I mean, how many kicks does a kicker kick during a practice session?
I don't know. How many woods does Woodchuck chuck? I have no idea.
Woodchuck could chuck wood?
Yeah. I have no idea, man. Maybe 50? I don't know. Maybe there's a kicker listening that can answer that question for us. Hit us up on the X at 929 Morning Shift, at MPJohnson79, at SquidBilly929 as well. So hit us up. The stat that I'm talking about. There is only one team in the NFL, that does not have a running play over 20 yards. Over 20 yards. There's one team in the NFL that doesn't have a running play over 20 yards, and it's the Dallas Cowboys. And when you look at what that offensive line used to be in Ezekiel Elliott's first tenure there, that almost makes me want to cry. And it's not because I like the Dallas Cowboys. It's because I firmly believe in running the football with efficiency. And when they had Zeke and Dak was running it, and you got this just, you know, this offensive line with three all pros and Zach Martin's not on the backside of his career, there was nobody better, man. But I'm just telling you right now, watching it, you can see that there's a reason they don't have a rush of 20 or more yards.
Well, and Tony Pollard, you know, that was the guy that they could have kept, and they might have still had a running game, but they're just weak. You know, Dalvin Cook, yeah. That's your... I heard someone talking about Dalvin Cook the other day, like he was Dalvin Cook of like 5 years ago. They're like, I don't know why Dalvin Cook, they should have got him. And somebody goes, he's on their practice squad. Yeah, well, why has he been playing? Because he's not the same player.
It's just, we get kind of attached to these names, man, and it kind of, we think it's going to carry us the distance to talk about these names, and rarely ever does it, right? And Dalvin Cook's one of those guys. Everybody in the NFL could have had Dalvin Cook for a lot of the offseason and throughout much of training camp and everything else, and they didn't.
And most of the season because he's been on the practice squad.
Right, that's a good point. Yeah, and they didn't. So that's not the answer to your issues. Ezekiel Elliott's not the answer to the issues. I fully believe, and even with Zach Martin not playing at an extremely high level right now, a lot of this is schematics and the fact that Dak Prescott is not being asked to run the football. Hey, we'll get Dave Archer coming up today at 8:20. Don't want to miss that. He'll preview this Falcons-Cowboys game with us. For right now, though, you're going to hear Dave Archer talk to Kirk Cousins. This interview is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
Now time to catch up with our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, here on Countdown to Kickoff. And, Kirk, first of all, congratulations. I know it's a team of deal, and that you'll defer to that, but player of the week again. In the first half of the season, already two player of the weeks for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, it helps when Kyle Pitts has a couple runaways, you know, for huge plays when I'm just kind of throwing to him and he's open and then he does the rest. You know, Bijan did a nice job too, leaking out in the flat on the backside. Protection was good. Mooney's route was awesome on his touchdown. And then Zach's obviously given us at-bats, given us opportunities to move the football. So I've always said from the day I signed here, I'm a point guard. I try to distribute, and that's what I'm going to keep doing. And it's not an easy thing to do, but that's all I really try to do, and let the guys take it from there.
Well, you're doing it at the highest level. There's no question about that. I want you to expound on the where the offensive line is right now. I know there was some things, some growing pains, maybe kind of figuring out what Zach wanted to do and those kind of things. But still, this offensive line, and I know you talked about it last week after the game. I mean, man, to be able to go through as many reads as you went through a couple times in that game, they're doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, it makes a big difference for the type of game I play because I'm trying to be in the pocket. I'm trying to go through progressions. And so to give me that pocket makes a meaningful difference. I think the fact that they can do it both in the run game and the pass game is also tremendous. A lot of times an old lineman is usually either one or the other. So to have both is a big help. They're well coached, and they're self-led too, and it's a really good group.
Your group that you're throwing the football to just continues to make plays for you, continues to be on the same page with you. Is there anything that is in the first half of the season now, we're kind of 8 weeks in going into our ninth game, that has surprised you about that group at all?
Well, I'm learning more about them, what they do well, how to kind of give them chances to be really successful. I think Zach, much the same, has learned a lot about the skill group and how to game plan accordingly. But I just think, you know, every week has been kind of a step forward, and I felt the Tampa game on that Thursday night, we really matured as an offense and had that shared experience that I think helped us grow, and we've been building from there. But I just keep asking a lot of them as playmakers to get open and to make my life easier, and they keep answering the challenge.
All right, let's take a look at the Dallas Cowboys. It's a team that's struggled some, and some of it has to do with some of the guys they don't have on the field. Yeah. Not sure who's going to be in this game. Potentially one of the better players in the league, and Micah Parsons could play in this game. When you see Dallas on tape, what do you see?
Well, you see a team that I think is more dangerous than their record because of what you just said. I think that, you know, there's some guys in the back end, too, I've played against for several years who have played really, really high-level football. So, you know, I expect it to be a real challenge, and I think Dallas has always played with great speed on defense, and I think we'll feel that. And so we have to show up with a mindset to match that speed and have an answer.
How much of does it matter that you know Mike Zimmer as well as you do and what he wants to do defensively?
Well, I think, you know, the scheme is really sound. And so even if you know the coverage they're in or if you know what they're trying to do, that doesn't mean you have the best answer because they still, you know, understand, you know, how to counter that. And you know, Eric Kendricks there is the signal caller, the green dot wearer making the calls. You know, he's been in the scheme a long time. And so I don't know that it gives too much of an advantage of any kind. And Coach Zimmer and Eric practiced against me for years. And so they likewise, you know, would probably have a similar knowledge. And I think that's part of the chess match that is football. And it'll be interesting to see how the game unfolds.
All right, last thing for you. You mentioned Bijan Robinson a few moments ago. And I tried to describe what he's like. And I can go back to guys I played against and saw and watched play. When you hand the football off to a guy like that and he does some of the stuff he does to make people miss, I mean, you almost become a fan of that, don't you?
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I got a front row seat, right? There's nobody in the building who has the view that I have. But I think it's just about, can we get the football in his hands and can we be somewhat creative with how we do it, but also not too complicated? You know, there have been times like in the Tampa game at the end of the half in the 2 minute, he runs a little swing route to the flat. He's matched in two man. I put the ball on him. It should be a 1 yard loss. He makes the guy miss and gains us 12 yards, gets us a first down and gets out of bounds to stop the clock. So you realize, I'm just so glad I put the ball in his hands because that's the key, is get the ball in his hands and then he can do his thing. But yeah, giving him enough at bats in the run game, enough opportunities in the pass game, and then from there, once the ball's in his hands, he's got to go be, you know, who he's been, a dynamic player.
Thanks for your time, man. Go have some fun.
Yeah, thanks, Arch.
Got to get the ball in Bijan's hand. You got to do it creatively, but not make it too complicated. I don't know that I've ever heard a statement, Bo, that encapsulates what this offense is better than that one statement. Because that statement right there is the complete. We've talked about, does Atlanta have an identity? What he just said to me is Atlanta's offensive identity. Get the ball into Bijan's hands. Obviously, work on everybody else, and there's a number of other players having great years, but Bijan is the engine. And how many different ways can you get the ball in his hands when really you only have like two or three run plays? That's the key to me. So listen to him say that. He is so spot on.
Yeah, and even when he's talking about and he mentioned the 12-yard little, it's an outlet pass. It's a dump off, whatever you want to call it. It's a check down,
yeah,
whatever.
Swing, yeah.
Whatever. I mean, whatever the verbiage you
nomenclature.
I like to say the verbiage that fits your narrative the best, because I think there's a lot of narratives with check downs at times with certain quarterbacks. But he's like, you know, I'm just trying to get the ball out, and basically it's a dead play to Kirk. And he's like, I just got it out there to him, and the next thing I know, it's a first down. We've got 12 more yards, and he got out of bounds. So he did everything that I wanted to do if I was pushing the ball downfield. And I think you even hear Kirk talk about it. Even he's surprised what can happen at times when the ball is put in Bijan Robinson's hands. That's why he was drafted 8th overall, because he's more than just a 25 carries a game running back.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to go in the huddle, talk about all the NFL stuff.
Come on, that was a good point.
Yeah, you like that?
It was
like
a good
that?
Point, man. I brought it right there. I need more than,
Look.
Be excited.
You have a lot of words today, as my son would say. You have a lot of words today.
There's just two of us. All right.
Look, an all-pro quarterback calls his matchup this weekend a must-win, and it wasn't Dak Prescott. All right, another all-pro quarterback misses practice for the second time this week. We'll get you up to date on all the In the Huddle stuff on the NFL weekend coming up. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back here on the morning shift, talking all the latest NFL storylines. And the Jets, obviously, get victory last night. Stake pointed this out yesterday, and we knew it was a fishy line. Jets 2.5-point favorites against the Texans last night.
Yeah.
And you just knew that something was up with that one. I don't think the Jets look great, but nonetheless, a gritty win and a lot of athletic plays back there by that wide receiver core, dude.
Dude, what I love, and we literally just had this conversation off the air, but ESPN does these segments, fraud or not.
Fraud or laud.
Yeah, and they're literally asking if the Jets are a fraud and then if the Texans are a fraud. Well, yes, the Jets at 3-6 are a fraud. Wait, no, they're not a fraud. They're exactly who they are. What is that? How's that question even asked?
Yeah.
But then they asked the question about the Texans. Are they a fraud? And I find it. I remember Amy. What's her? The woman. She used to run the Raiders, and her first name Amy Trask.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
She has a quote that we used to use on Dukes and Bell and the soundbite. She goes, "I find it interesting."
Yeah.
And I find it interesting. Even I'm going to talk to Josh Kendall on Sunday in the press box why he had the Texans so high in his power ranking, because I think the Texans could be one of the most overrated teams in the NFL.
And I agree with you. I don't think C.J. Stroud's overrated.
Not of C.J. Stroud thing.
No, that's my point, though, is like how many roses did we throw at Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud last year, and they're not the same offense. They're not the same offense that they were a year ago, and I don't know exactly what has changed. I'd have to do a deeper dive, but it's not the same. So I'm with you on that. And they don't get it done against the Jets last night. On the flip side, the whole Woody Johnson thing, when they let go Robert Saleh and saying, you know, we'll get the fired coach uptick, you know, we'll get all the players playing a little bit better.
Mm-mm.
I guess it maybe finally come around, Mm-mm. but I think this is more indicative of the Texans last night than I do the Jets, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You look at the losses that the Texans have, they lost to the Vikings and got blown out on the road. Probably one of the best teams they've played. They did beat the Bills.
However,
at home they played in Houston. They beat the Bills by 3. But then they went to Green Bay, lost again, and then they played the Jets on the road. So they've lost 3 road games, which is a lot of the opposite of us. And they've lost to, dare I say, 2 of the 3 best teams they've played.
Yeah.
So I think it's fair to question. I'm not I said this immediately when they obviously Stephon Diggs is towards ACL. He didn't play last night. He's done for the season. But I didn't like the addition, because I said, you had such good chemistry offensively. You had such good play calling. CJ Stroud was so good at spreading the ball around. Why go add a guy that demands the ball? And
right.
I wonder if it messed up the chemistry of the offense. Now, I'm not blaming Stephon Diggs. I'm just asking the question. You add another cook to the kitchen. Did you have too many? C.J. Stroud made one of the best throws on the run. Two of them last night.
Oh, my goodness. The one along the near sideline. Unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable that he's able to do that. Another quarterback, Lamar Jackson, doesn't practice for the second time this week. They're facing off with the Broncos at home. Remember, the Ravens got upset by the Browns last week. Ravens 8-point favorites at home against the Broncos and Bo Nix this weekend. And here's what I'll say. Ravens seem to be headed in the wrong direction. The Broncos seem to be headed in the right direction with Bo Nix. And watching him throw the ball on the move, been pretty good. But it is interesting to me that Ravens 8-point favorites. And that one, I think that kind of speaks to the Broncos' run defense right now.
They're not. I disagree. The Ravens are not headed in the wrong direction. They lost.
What do you mean? They lost the Browns last week.
Yeah, coming, and they were on a 5-game winning streak,
okay.
And they went into a division game, which we have talked about how hard they are to win
on the
road.
That's true. That's tough.
And you know what? If you get an interim coach bounce, then how the hell don't you get a backup quarterback bounce?
They definitely do.
So,
and that's the second year in a row that team's gotten a backup quarterback bounce.
So I don't like to say that I think you're wrong, but I think you're wrong.
Fair enough.
Because you win 5 games in a row in the NFL. It's just so hard to do. So I just don't agree with that. I would tell you. Also, I got a question later on in the show that I want to ask you about NFL related. But I don't agree. I think that the Ravens can get right. They're a very good team defensively. Can they confuse Bo Nix? The thing for me is Lamar Jackson healthy?
Yeah,
he's missed 2 days of practice. This is a phenomenally good Broncos defense that we will face in 2 weeks from Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting showdown, and actually a pretty good one when you look at the matchup you'll have in Denver in a couple of weeks. Raiders at Bengals. Joe Burrow has come out. We mentioned the Dak Prescott comments. Joe Burrow's come out and said this is a must-win game for them. They got the Las Vegas Raiders at home, the 3-5 Bengals, the 2-6 Raiders, and the Bengals will be a 7-point favorite in that one. Joe Burrow's right, man.
Yeah, Joe Burrow,
he's spot on. This is a must-win game. There's no doubt about it for the Bengals.
Yeah, they've been must-win for them for quite a while. He's also the Scrooge of Halloween.
Yeah, dude, his whole take on Halloween and the whole "I don't like it, what are we celebrating" thing. Come on, man.
Well, like,
dude.
I've been thinking about this. I guess when you dress up every day in clown outfits like he does does the...
That's a good point.
Wants to dye his hair.
Yeah, he dresses up every day.
Every day is a dress-up day for Joe Burrow, so I guess Halloween is every day of the week for him.
And if you missed this, Joe Burrow comes out yesterday and he says, "I don't really like Halloween. Not a big Halloween guy. You know, I don't know what we're celebrating. What are we really celebrating? I don't like to celebrate for no reason." If you haven't already accepted Kirk Cousins as your quarterback here in Atlanta, and his conversation on the flip side of this was, "I think it's the best day of the year. I think it's the best day of the year. But this is what my kids are dressing up as. This is what we're doing." The Halloween take way out of line by Joe Burrow, dude. Come on, man. Why are you scrooging?
It kind of screamed, "I'm too cool for school."
It did. I hate to tell you when you're extremely right, but you are extremely right.
That's twice.
He's spot on. I know.
That's twice.
He's spot on. Another couple games coming up this weekend. You got Chargers. You got Browns. That one is in Cleveland. That's a 1 o'clock game. Cleveland be underdogs on their home turf, even with Jameis Winston giving all those cool pregame speeches. Dude, I've seen so many clips from Jameis Winston mic'd up over this past week when they get that knockoff win. He said something along the lines of, "Hey, man, play for the name on your helmet." Then he goes, "Well, we don't have logos or anything, but that's not the point." Oh my gosh, I love that guy, man. I don't know, it's not even as a player. I'm like, whatever, take it or leave it, man. But I could listen to that guy give pregame speeches all day.
Well, because
it's like stand-up comedy, man.
Because it never makes sense.
I know.
He's like, you know, "We're gonna go out here, and we're gonna go to this Mexican restaurant, and we're gonna have bone-in ribeyes." You're like, "No Mexican restaurant has bone-in ribeyes, man. What are you talking about?"
Real quick.
"We're going to get skirt steak, and we're going to like it." Like, what?
Real quick, man. Have you seen the line of the Saints-Panthers game? So we can be honest with me. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. Now, what would you guess? The Saints are in Charlotte. What would you guess is the line on that game this weekend?
Pick 'em.
Bank of America Stadium.
Pick 'em.
No, it's not. It's
I'd
not
pick
a pick 'em.
Pick 'em. Okay,
it's actually a lot more slanted than that.
Saints are favored by 3.5.
Saints are favored by 7. in Charlotte this weekend.
They think Derek Carr's coming back now.
Well, not only that, but they are. They're, like I said last week, and I tried to pick them, and it went sour. But that team is getting back healthy. And the Panthers?
I hope you pick them again.
Who knows what they're going to do at the quarterback position.
Bryce Young, man.
I don't know. Who knows who's playing quarterback for either squad, to be honest with you.
Ooh, this Army Air Force line is enticing.
Yeah, we're going to make those picks at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. We'll get our picks at 8:20. We'll talk to Dave Archer. We'll have a Life of Squid later. But coming up next, we're going to do a special edition of Mic'd Up. I'm not hosting Fair Foul on this Fair Foul Falcons Friday, this Freaky Friday. I'm tired of Bo running off of the mouth in his room. Fair Foul hosted by Dylon Matthews. It's a Mike's Mafia versus Squid Nation edition of Fair Foul. But I won't rest until this man hushes.
But there's no,
I won't rest.
It's
not, I won't rest.
It's not a competition.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And?
The Odyssey app.
Voice okay?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Backward App Brigade here on the morning shift. Mike and Bo hanging out with you. We're going to get to Mic'd Up and Fair Foul in just 1 second. Just want to remind everybody that this hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart. Lasting clean. You're going to get the Hawks tonight against the Kings. Hopefully they can get back on track, man. Been a rough couple of days for them. Get swept by the Wizards earlier in the week, home and away. I still believe in the Hawks. Hopefully they get it going. And then tomorrow I'll be in the house. Well, I'll be in the house in two places. First of all, I'm going to the pregame party at Buffalo's up in Hamilton Mill. Come hang out with me. Have a, you know, have an ice cold water, maybe an unsweet tea. I don't know. Don't want to go too crazy.
You?
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
If you go, buy Mike a beer and make him man up.
Look, later on tomorrow night, courtesy of Squidbilly and some of his contacts, the wife and I will be in the house to see Lionel Messi take on Atlanta United. Then back at it, man, both of us on Sunday for the Cowboys, America's team, coming to house. Man, make sure we pack out Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Make sure we get it done. Make sure we get it done. Show up loud and proud. We're in your red and black, man. Hopefully that crowd is really, really good on Sunday. All right, make sure you're screaming. And speaking of screaming, let's hit Fair Foul.
All right, fellas.
Let's do it.
Let's get it going.
I hope you come with the smoke, man.
I'm ready. I'm ready to hear what you guys got.
On this side of the fence, man. I'm ready.
I'm ready to hear what you guys got. All right, let's start with the Atlanta Falcons. We know Dak Prescott's favorite target is CeeDee Lamb. So much so, he has 30 more targets. I believe it's 30 more targets, 30 more receptions. I'll tell you here in just a second. Then the next highest guy, which is the tight end, Jake Ferguson, who you guys were talking about earlier. So with that being said, A.J. Terrell probably going to see a lot of CeeDee Lamb. That matchup going to be prominent. With that being said, A.J. Terrell, fair foul, gets an interception while covering CeeDee Lamb. Fair or foul, A.J. Terrell gets an interception while covering CeeDee Lamb.
I will start on this one. And first of all, don't bury the lead. For those of you that don't remember, and Bo and I were talking about this morning, these guys went 16-17 in the 2020 draft. So there was a lot of people maybe kicking around going, hey, Falcons need CeeDee Lamb. And you took A.J. Terrell right in front of him. I think it is probably foul just because the numbers don't stack up. Right, when you look at how long A.J. went without a reception, knew they'd come in bunches too over the last 3 weeks. I think he's going to play extremely well against CeeDee Lamb, but I'm just going to say foul. I don't know that he'll get a pick. Maybe a tip ball landing in the hands of a Jesse Bates or Justin Simmons.
Well, those guys are normally the ones tipping them. I would say, because they're also ball hawks, so they've caught a couple of tips. I agree. I would like to say foul because it's not so simple. You know, this team doesn't necessarily match up in DBs with receivers. It's just not really something they like to do. They have. I've seen them do it this year.
Yeah, Raheem talked about matches. You can't wait for the DK Metcalf, A.J. Terrell matchup.
But they don't do it. They don't necessarily just do it.
Right.
However, read that stat again, Dylon. He's got 45 catches on the season, which is like you said 30.
So, yeah, I got it right here. So, 45 receptions, 613 yards, 4 touchdowns. Lamb's 72 targets are 30 more than the next highest guy, which is tight end Jake Ferguson.
They force the ball to CeeDee Lamb, and that's not Dylon saying that. That's not in my opinion. Those are the numbers that bear that out. That said, AJ is feeling good.
Ooh, spicy.
He's like, man, I'm the man. I got paid.
He is
I didn't stop playing hard and working. I'm taking a
pick. Speaking of which, did you know that Carson Beck and Jake Ferguson are boyfriends-in-law? Somebody told me that yesterday.
The Cavender twins?
Boyfriends-in-law, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Boyfriends-in-law.
Yeah. Thanks for interrupting my point here. Random-ass facts.
Yeah, got to hurry.
For that part only, he gets a pick six.
Oh!
Pick six.
A tutty. Wow. An A.J. Terrell tutty. An A.J. tutty.
Clip it, baby. Clip it.
A.J. Tuttle.
I love it. All right. Let's go to what's going to be going down tomorrow. Trevor Etienne is going up against his old team, a.k.a. the Fighting Squidbillies, a.k.a. the Florida Gators. Trevor Etienne with the Georgia Bulldogs has not gone over 100 yards yet. So fair or foul, Trevor Etienne gets over the century mark for the first time in the red and black against his old team.
Do we know if Tate Ratledge is playing yet? Have we heard any news on that one? Because that would spark me to say over for
him,
sure.
Him being probable leads me down the road of that he is.
Okay.
But you know, you never.
With that being said, Tate Ratledge in the fold. If he is probable, then I am probably going to say that yes, that he's going to go over 100 yards. Tate Ratledge. I don't want to say the best lineman in the country. I think he's top 10, though, man. He's going to do a lot for that offense moving forward. And Etienne, man's going to be hungry, Bo. He's going to be hungry. Feed him.
I'm going to go foul. I just don't think he's going to get enough touches for it. I think Florida's been better against the run the last few weeks than they have been. Since that first bye, they have really changed things a lot. I just think the way they play offense, they like to throw the ball around a lot. They like to split carries. I say foul for those reasons. I mean, his most yards is 88 this year. That came on 16. His second most is 87, which came on 19. So, foul.
We'll get back to the ground game here in just a minute when it comes to the Falcons and Cowboys. But for right now, fair or foul, because today is actually National Calzone Day. I love to look at what national day it is. Today is National Calzone Day. Fair or foul? A calzone is just a fancy hot pocket when you think about it. It's folded,
how dare you?
It's kind of just folded up.
Do
and
not
it
make
just
me,
has all the pizza stuff in
do
it.
Do not make me come
behind
the
glass.
I
get that.
I'll hold him.
I'll hold him down.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I'm asking. No, it's a question.
No. Next question. We both say it's foul.
It's ridiculous.
Garbage.
It's garbage. I'm pretty sure that I know that I don't have an Italian name, but I've got to be of Italian.
And for the record, I'm calling the question garbage.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Dude,
just the question.
I'm just telling you right now, there's never been a worse fair foul question asked.
Wow.
All right. Move along.
That's unfair. That's unfair. You've asked bad ones.
No,
before.
That means I know all the questions that have been asked.
Hold on. That's because you ask all of them.
I know.
So that's unfair. That's a foul. That's foul.
Okay.
But I will tell you this. If it's not the worst, because I'm pretty sure you've done as bad, it's top five worst of all time.
Man, I did not realize you guys were going to be this passionate about calzones. Yeah, goodness,
next,
I apologize.
Next question.
Bullies the whole thing.
Next question.
Let me get back to the run game as promised. A lot has been made about the Cowboys' poor run defense. They're giving up just about 156 yards per game on the ground. That is second worst in the NFL. The Falcons' run game obviously can be prominent when it wants to, and I think, as you guys have made the point, they want to run the ball first. So with that being said, Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier both get over 100 yards on the ground.
No, I wish that I could say that that's definitely going to happen. I think they both have great days, and I think that they maybe as a combination have the most rushing yards they've had. I don't know what that number is, like what their high is together. As a tandem, what the high would be, but they're not both going to 100.
Well,
and they came close, 3 weeks ago, but yeah. I don't think that's going to be the game plan this week.
Yeah, the Panthers game, I think Tyler had 106 and Bijan had somewhere around 95.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it's foul, and that was a game where they were able to run. They went on a long drive running the ball there.
And that's what that game called for.
Yeah. I think it's foul as well. I think you might have 150 to 170 yards rushing if things go well for you, but that doesn't equal two guys having 100 yards. I think it's foul. I'm not going to sit here and fanboy and say, yeah, everybody has 100.
I'm with you. You're not just dealing out 100 yard rushing games for two. That's hard to do in the NFL.
Yeah,
man.
It really is.
All right, we'll close this one out here. The Falcons obviously taking on a very good quarterback in Dak Prescott. Some people think he's a top 10, others don't. And the two guys that include who don't think he's a top 10 are his teammates.
Where would you rank him among quarterbacks right now? I would say he's definitely top 10. Higher.
You think he's top five?
For sure. Who else you going to put in there?
Give us your top five right now.
I'm going to go him. I'm going to go Mahomes.
Mar. Got to have Mar.
Yeah. Lamar. Josh Allen. Jalen playing pretty good right now, too.
Jared Goff is a top five quarterback right now.
And Matthew Stafford. I love how Matthew Stafford played a quarterback position.
Sam Darnold could be in the top five conversation right now.
Yeah, Sam Darnold looking crazy, too. So it's hard as a lot of quarterbacks right now.
I can't give you a top five right now based on how everybody's performing.
So that was Trevon Diggs.
Prescott, too. Oh, I didn't hear that one.
And Micah. No. Yeah, exactly. You see where I'm putting down here? That was Trevon Diggs and Micah Parsons on Micah Parsons' podcast talking about, obviously, their top five, top ten quarterbacks. A name you do not hear was Dak Prescott.
The Dak Attack. I think they're just too close to it, right?
Fair foul. Dak Prescott is not a top ten QB.
I don't think currently he is, to be honest. And I know that you love when I'm honest. I don't think he currently is, man.
I'm just glad you don't sit here and lie to me.
We looked at our buddy Jeff Howe. We looked at his top rankings, and he was right there along with Kirk Cousins. I didn't agree with his Kirk Cousins take, but I don't think Dak's top 10 right now. There's a lot of good quarterback play in the NFL, man. And if Dak's not using his legs, he's not that guy right now.
First off, I'll tell you, don't trust the guy that tells you. I'll be honest with you, because then I think, have you been lying to me the rest of the time? I mean, I'm confused.
Who do you trust more, Dylan? You know what I mean?
Well,
I trust you both equally.
Yeah, okay.
Genuine call. Smart
answer. I think Dak Prescott is a top 10 quarterback. Look, he's a man on an island. See, that's what frustrated me, because I thought a lot of people, when you're not winning games, the quarterback gets all the blame. You look at the Cowboys offense. I mean,
he ain't getting helped up front right now. I'll just say that.
They're third in passing. Now they're not getting a lot out of those yards, but they're third in passing overall. He's doing things, but it's all on him. They can't run the football, and it makes him look a lot worse. Why is it that we can say Kirk's a top 10 quarterback right now the way he's playing? Because he's got a run game.
Right.
But then if we didn't, we'd be like, would we say Kirk's not a top 10 quarterback?
But it's all encompassing. Yes.
I'm telling you, it's all encompassing. Dak is a top 10 quarterback. If you put Dak in Atlanta, he would be doing the same things that Kirk is. Right.
Well, we got to go to break. Fair foul, Bo. Dylan did a good job on fair foul.
Well, he's close to getting a foul because of that calzone question. But I think overall it's fair because he put thought and research into the questions, and that's all that can ask.
Taking this man to the nearest Italian spot.
Everybody gets a throwaway question.
I love calzones. I just thought it would be an interesting question to ask. I wonder where you guys stood on calzones, but I know now.
Was disrespectful.
I know now.
You're talking yourself into a foul because I don't believe you love calzones if you ask that question.
We got to go to a break.
I want to know what y'all think.
Coming up on the other side, we're going to make our picks. I just heard from Bo last break. He said, I've never been more confident going 4-0 in my picks this week.
That's what he said.
I've never been more confident.
I said, I have no idea.
Ohio State, Penn State, maybe the Lions game this weekend. Stick around. Lions, Packers, we'll get all those picks in. It's coming up on the other side, Sports Radio 19 in the game.